internet, and welcome to episode 2, season 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist for Tuesday, October 17th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien.
Oh, top of the morning to you.
And I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, yes, that's right. Young, a.k.a. young biracial in the building.
All right. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by Mr. Iffy Wadaway.
Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Young Greasy.
All right.
Yeah, that's how I confuse the people I have rap battles with, because they're thinking of Greasy Rhymes when we schedule the battle
on LinkedIn. See you.
Yeah. And then when we show up to the battle, he's like, ah, oh, he's not Greasy. All these Greasy.
Damn, all my writtens are been rendered inert.
Iffy, what's the weirdest thing that you've searched for in the past week?
I guess the weirdest thing, I guess, so far is probably that GLD shop. Have you seen it on Facebook?
Mm-mm.
So I actually went on it, and they sell, like, plated gold jewelry, like a lot of plated gold, but they have these plated gold, like, lettering rings, like the pinky ring, like ASAP Ferg has.
Mm-hmm.
And I priced it out. You can get up to 7 letters.
For how much?
It's about like 120, 150.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what would you get?
That's affordable.
The first one's going to be like swag with 2 W's. That's like the white women, like, you know, moniker.
Nice.
And then me and Miles were talking. The second one's going to be Daily Z.
Some Daily Z.
Yeah,
Daily
I don't know. Z, huh? Cut the check, Jack.
Yeah.
So we can represent. Or GLD, if you're listening, man. Hey, we're looking for sponsors and we love gold jewelry.
Yeah.
All right. One overrated thing, one underrated thing.
Okay. So overrated. I'm going to go straight up.
The Daily Zeitgeist.
No. Yeah. Hot takes. No, overrated things is definitely going to be hating things. I feel like in the nerd world, like the cool thing is like your takedowns of things. I remember, I don't know if you remember when Pixels came out and that movie Bob reviewed did a huge rant and everybody was talking about how great and funny it was. But it wasn't funny to me because, one, it was written. You can tell he was just reading off this rant that he wrote, so it wasn't really a rant since you wrote it.
Right.
And second, I just felt like, yeah, everyone's gonna shit on Pixels. Like, there's so many people, I still haven't seen it, but Mother, everyone's like, it's bad, it's so bad. But people are like, why? And they can't even tell.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I heard it's bad.
It's boring, it's lame, and it's not cool. But it's that same kind of like millennial apathy thing where it's like, it's cool not to care. It's cool to be, hate something and talk about how shitty it is. But you can't articulate it. And usually when you can, it's usually explained in the way that you articulate it.
Right. The angriest I've ever been is when somebody told me they didn't like the Chappelle Show because it tries too hard.
What
the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
Yo, who is this? Call us some names.
Young woman named Dana.
fucking Dana.
From New York.
Man, you see Dana.
That sounds like a New York statement. That sounds like someone
in New York.
He's
trying too hard. What are you talking about?
All right. Underrated.
Underrated.
Get us off. This should be good because you're sending out positive vibes all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to have lots of underrated things.
Yeah, yeah. Underrated, definitely, I'm going to say these Balenciaga runners, the Yeezy runners.
Wow.
Everyone talks about, like, the trend is calling them ugly shoes. And it's like, no, they're just not conventional. And I think that's what makes them cool.
All right, guys. I want to get into some conservative clapbacks to Eminem's rap.
Don't
about
put those
Trump.
Two words
they were yeah.
next to each other.
There have been some rebuttals posted to the internet that Iffy wanted Miles and I to hear, so we're going to be listening to them for the first time on air.
So yeah, I guess for any if you're living under a fucking rock, Eminem basically he had a acapella cipher verse for the BET Awards last week, and he just bodied Trump. It was okay. It wasn't great, but. And let me say, a body was like, it was just nice. I was more kind of geeked up off the fact that he basically told any one of his fans who's like a Trump supporter, like, yo, just delete my shit. You don't need it anymore. So I guess that inevitably created the backlash. And I'm so happy I haven't listened to any of these. So I'm hearing it for the first time. Jack is hearing it for the first time. Nick, hit us with some of these.
Damn, not shady. Should hate Trump. But what about Hillary's Haiti? NFL's dead, like the SNLs. They say racist shit. But you ain't say shit. You draw a line like you Obama. And you lost me like you lost your mama.
Oh,
fuck Kaepernick. He ain't shit. And just like the NFL, he smells like shit.
Shit. Yeah, shit.
Eminem, you are shady. Take them rhymes and rhymes back to the 80s. I just cut you up like a transgender lady.
Oh, no.
It's all about MAGA, baby. It's all about Trump, America, American flag, and our veterans. My name's Jose Valdez from Truth TV News. Peace.
Hey, Jose, May, man. Way to hold it down, bruh. Hey,
I
I'm
like
all about American flag. Okay.
Cool. Oh, my God.
You know about the American flag. You'll stay at home with them. Oh, my God. What the fuck is wrong? Just, okay. Also, what the fuck was going on in the background? Like, did he have like an old Studebaker engine like fired up?
Well, it was real hot where he was at, right. Which I'm assuming is hell. So, so you have to keep that AC on.
He's in lyrical hell. All right, give us another one.
An awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not.
So this is Eminem.
That's all I got.
You're talking all this trash on Trump, man. We all know you're just another Illuminati chump.
Got a plan,
I'll
and now
all
I got
rhymes.
A hatchet like a damn Apache with a tomahawk.
Eminem, you think you're woke, but you're really just
a joke.
Your freestyle raps, man, they sound like
crap.
She gets a
I'm finishing all her rhymes. I'm a body.
Well, obviously Eminem didn't take his brain force today. Infowarsstore.com.
She hit with the nutraceuticals ad at the end.
Oh, is that what that
he
was?
He didn't take his brain force. Yeah, find out the nutraceuticals. Hey, the nutraceuticals because the fucking cucks are putting their poison in the water.
Screw you, racist!
Thank you, Alex Jones.
That was our Alex Jones drop. So that is somebody who works for Alex Jones there, who is just like responding sort of bar by bar to Eminem.
What the is there another one?
Oh, I think there's one more, and these are...
He's your president! He's your president! He's your president! Trump's your president, so get over it. Stop crying like a baby and a little bitch. You mad that Hillary lost? Diamond is trying to tell you that Trump's a boss. He's a baller, a shot caller. I hope he build that damn wall 10 feet taller. Build that wall, build it tall. Protect us all before this country falls. Now you can go around talking about you hate Trump. Take a look in the mirror. You just got stomped.
I will say, just structurally.
Much better.
Yeah, this is the first good rap. Like, this is an actual rap.
Right. Who was that one from?
That was Silk and Diamond.
Silk and Diamond is two black harpies. You know, I feel like I've got to point out that I am black. I feel like when you say black harpies, it sounds rough don't know I'm black. But if you heard Iffy Wadiway and thought anything other than this guy's probably black, I just want to remind you.
Probably.
Yeah.
This guy's clearly.
But yeah, there's two harpies that are his, like, not racist card. And that's literally, like, all their Donald Trump stuff is like, oh, he's racist? Look at him with all these black people.
Right, exactly. And then, like, yeah. Like, remember the dude, the Black Shirt Trump dude, who was, like, in some cult shit where they were decapitating people in the Everglades? Like, those are the kinds of people of color that Trump can get to support.
Right.
Okay, but, you know,
I was like, that dude was behind him in a speech, right?
Yeah, exactly, at the Phoenix
rally. They, like,
rally.
Rolled him out to the front because he was, like, the only person of color they could find within, like, 15 square miles, and he ended up being, like, part of a murder cult.
Yeah, exactly, and freaking out all the white people around him.
Right.
But, yo, these raps are so fucking weak. And it just shows you the – like, I was finishing the InfoWars ladies' raps.
Right.
Actually, and, like, look, I'm going to go off top right now. Nick, give me a fucking beat, dude. I'm a fucking body. This is how you body the liberals, homie. If you want to go there, we can go there. This is the Daily Zeitgeist.
And you know what, guys? For everybody in the alt-right, I mean, look, someone's got to represent for us and write these rhymes. And you know what? I'm going to take the time, and I'm going to do this right. So let's fucking drop some knowledge, okay? Sorry, Eminem. Your time is over. Trump's our lucky chime. He's our four-leaf clover. Snowflakes want to cry about all this police violence. But when it comes to Harvey Weinstein, all I hear is silence. Talk about progress voting for females. How could I vote for a witch that used private emails? She an old-ass troll, fat back with no cakes. I'm going to leave this mic right here, you fucking snowflakes.
That was objectively way better than
Can we cut that clean and see if we can get the like alt-right to start like retweeting that?
Yo, honestly, that might be my new like little joke. I'm gonna hold it down for all the alt-right rappers who just
I
have
watched
no game.
Miles write that, by the way. It took maybe 2 minutes.
At
the most, there was like no forethought.
I just said, hold on, just give me this.
Like immediately after, if he was like, yeah, they're conservative clapbacks to them. And
meanwhile,
thing.
Like all these raps that we listen to, they have like the notebook in front of them. Yeah. You know, they spent so much time
the
trying
first
to get
was,
those.
Like shitting his pants trying to get the rhythm out. SNL. I'm fuck. Okay, Michael, let's edit this. Like,
you guys, why are conservatives so bad at?
I don't know.
Creative shit like this.
There are like psychological studies that even say that liberals tend to be more creative than conservatives, which makes sense. I mean, if you look at the vast number of like comedians, musical artists, whatever, we see that they fall left of center typically ideologically.
Right. And I don't know. It seems like it should be almost a mixed bag, right? Just because assuming that they're equal sort of perspectives, like why is it that all of the creative people and all the talented people all fall on one side of the spectrum? Is it like because conservatives are prone to like following rules and creativity requires rule breaking? Is it because creativity requires empathy and conservatives sort of by definition lack empathy?
Right. Or even that like conservatives, they're more wholesome people and they want to keep the status quo. They're satisfied with their lives, where like on contrast, liberals tend to be sort of like, we've got to cross boundaries. We got to we got to push things. We got to change things. So who knows?
Although Engineer Nick is pointing out that they do have Kelsey Grammer.
That's right.
With an exclamation point.
Shout out to Kelsey Grammer.
I think you forgot the extra two exclamation points there. Kelsey Grammer does fucking rule, and so does Tim Allen. Tim Allen! We forgot about dope up-and-coming comedian Tim Allen, who's also on the right. I don't know. I guess try harder, guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess Jeff Dunham's puppets are cool.
Right, one puppet's kind of racist for me.
The
but...
fucking jihad skeleton thing?
Well, just there's one who holds racist views. Thankfully, Jeff Dunham doesn't hold those views.
Yeah, these puppets are just parts of my personality.
Right, right.
I mean characters. These are just characters. They're characters. Yeah.
It's high-level shit. You have to...
But for a while, he was selling out arenas. Like, he was that dude.
Dude, Tim Allen used to get $1 million per stand-up show. That's how... Yeah. Much he was selling.
Oh, yeah, he was that.
Well, it is crazy. Like, that's how hard it is for, like, people who have conservative values to find talented people, is that when you find a Tim Allen or a Jeff Dunham,
right,
you, like, he can sell out fucking, like,
right,
domes.
Like, finally.
The Carrier Dome.
Oh, we have like, someone.
And, like, they had... Like, one conservative wrote a moderately readable novel 70 years ago, and it's every favorite conservative's novel. Like, Ayn Rand is the only, like, right. passable novelist. And she's not even that good,
no.
But, like, it's just, you know.
Keep taking those L's creatively.
Yeah.
Conservatives.
On the other hand, I don't know what it says about us that the people – on the left or left-leaning people have all the creative people and we still just lost that election.
Yeah.
that's a tough break.
I mean, we didn't use computers to our advantage.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, shout outs to Trump. You know, they thought out the box and were like, you know what, dude, fuck it. Let's cheat.
They didn't cheat. They just said yes to Facebook when Facebook was like, hey, we can basically win this election for you.
I mean, look, who knows what'll come out with this investigation? That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to say that it is or it isn't, but I can see the argument for both sides.
Nah, but like I said, conservatives follow rules always. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah, always.
Nixon was set up. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back from ads, presumably. So I wanted to talk about a sort of loose conspiracy I've been working on.
Okay, here we go.
There it is.
Mr. Conspiracy.
What is it this time? Seriously, the people who work for me take me as a human
being.
Well,
you have a conspiracy about everything, even from the bok choy place we have lunch. Got mad conspiracies about them too.
All right, so DeAndre Harris was recently arrested for basically they say that he caused injury to somebody on the day that he was like gang beaten by a bunch of white supremacists in Charlottesville. If you don't know him by name, he's the dude who there's all the video and photographs of him being like beaten by a big gang of white supremacists. He just got arrested and charged with apparently injuring a guy who is a avowed white supremacist who just went to the Charlottesville police and was like, hey, I got injured and I saw it was this guy who did it. According to lots of eyewitnesses, he was actually in the hospital when this guy said he was injuring him. But the police nonetheless took that, again, white supremacists' word for it and went and arrested DeAndre Harris, who has become like sort of a cause celeb on the left because, you know, he was abused and made it out of there alive and
Nearly fucking killed.
Nearly fucking killed. There also the dude who fired the like makeshift flamethrower from that like really famous photograph.
Yeah.
Who's like firing it at somebody who was like trying to stab him with a flag. He was also just arrested for basically doing that makeshift flamethrower, even though someone's like literally trying to stab him with a flag at that point.
He was like, get the fuck back. I'll turn this spray can up.
Also, if you see video of that interaction, there's a dude who walks by that exchange and pulls out a gun, says the N word, and then fires his gun at him, I believe. And then walks away. And when you see him walking away, he walks past a line of cops who do nothing after just watching this dude, you know, fire a gun at people. This is all in Charlottesville on the day that Heather Heyer was killed. So I'd also heard from people who were there protesting the white supremacists and then a college professor who was there both on that day and then at an earlier event protesting the KKK. He was saying that it was palpable that the police were there to protect the white supremacists, that at this earlier KKK event that happened in early July, they were just there to protect the KKK from protesters, and then the police immediately started arresting people who were there to protest the KKK. And so I'd always had this like sort of inkling that the police were probably more aligned with the white supremacist cause than we might realize. And
you might
not know.
Wait, you guys think that's a known thing? Wait, what?
Oh yeah.
You know, in all those like civil rights movies, when the cops pull over a black person and then get angry, and then the KKK show up at their house that night.
That was a coincidence. That was a coincidence. Clearly,
You think they talk?
Yeah. Right, but so there's also all these things flying around on social media that a civil war is about to break out. About 10 years ago, and I didn't know this, so this is independent of my wildly intuitive conspiracy theory. About 10 years ago, in 2006, the FBI sent out a report warning law enforcement people across the country that white supremacist groups were infiltrating local and state law enforcement. And the FBI was saying it's a significant threat to national security. And I can see why they would think it's a threat to national security, because if you have the police like on your side, then the white supremacists become like that. That becomes a lot scarier, a battle that was happening in Charlottesville.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, there was also questions as to why the police didn't, you know, intervene or like follow the car after it ran into that crowd. Like it took them a while, and there's video of cops just kind of standing there as the guy like drives in to like basically slaughter a bunch of people. Now, obviously, the white supremacists have had their own complaints, being like, well, the cops weren't on our side enough in Charlottesville.
Of course.
Which, you know, both sides are going to claim the refs aren't fair in any sort of pitched battle. But when you hear the white supremacists complaining about it, you can clearly hear that they assumed they had the police behind them. They're like, yeah, well, I mean, we're the Blue Lives Matter people.
Well, exactly. Because, like, the cops were acting differently when the white supremacists were there. They weren't killing as many black people as they usually do on a normal basis. So it's like, why'd you stop? Because we showed up.
Right, exactly.
But no, it is like, first off, that FBI notice was like 50 years too late. It's a super known thing that the cops were infiltrated. And it's like that thing, like, you know, when you meet that person who was like, you know, my dad was in the army and my grandpappy was in the army and his grandpappy was in the army. It's the same thing with KKK cops, where it's like, my dad was a cop and in the KKK, his dad was a cop in the KKK. There's a lot of nepotism like there is in any industry. And of course, if you set a system, like, it's a no-brainer. If you are a white supremacist and you have a way to be in power over people of color, why would you ever let that go away? Why would you not train your sons and force them to be a cop? You know, and there's so many cops who are cops because their parents were cops. So if their parents also happen to be white supremacists, there you go. So it's not a mystery. It's almost frustrating that it's being treated as such when you see it night and day. You saw it since as early as Trayvon Martin. You've seen it since even before Charlottesville when it was Ferguson. You know, the cops aren't there to protect and serve people of color. The cops are there to enforce white supremacy and keep the white supremacists safe.
Right.
You just see it even in the pictures where they compare the riot gear. You know, like if people are protesting, you know, they want to riot up, but like people marching with guns who have hired their own militia, they're just in there, just regular old cop clothes, because that's just letting the message. You're sending a message when you show up dressed like that. When you show up in riot gear to like a Black Lives Matter march, you're like, something happens.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're gonna bust your head open. But when you show up to the white supremacists in your clothes, you're like, don't worry guys, we're just here to,
it's like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just watching a video where a bunch of cops jumped in and pulled Antifa members off of a white supremacist. And it was like within, you could see in the background the parking garage where DeAndre Harris got beat and the cops just stood back and let it happen. But in this video, the cops jump in and pull Antifa off this white supremacist.
Yeah, they got their stun guns out. They were get off my friend.
But they also look like they're dressed to go out and put some like parking tickets on.
Like, and that's the thing where it's like Antifa, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, if Antifa won it, they could have beat the shit out those cops. They could have beat the like, if you look at the way Antifa was dressed.
Yeah, they looked like they were the riot police.
Yeah, they could have did it, but they just did what they needed to do. And that video isn't good, but also they really kind of just wanted to rip the flag out his hand. If you kind of watch it, like, they punch him a little bit, but you know, who cares? I don't care. I've left the point of giving the fuck about safety of racists when you watch stuff like DeAndre Harris and then no one really gives a shit.
Well, yeah, it's angry. And I don't think people realize like what that does to watch that. Right.
Yeah.
And what that does to you subconsciously. That only begins to escalate in your mind. It's like, okay, well, I'm not gonna let that shit happen.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't give a fuck about it. Like, it's not doing much to make people feel safer or that the issues are being addressed. It's only going to begin to build and build.
Yeah.
And that kind of resentment is not healthy, especially for the times we're living in right now.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to put this conversation in the context of the word civil war, because that's being thrown around out there. There is a big protest being planned for November 4th, which is coming up, and the right wing and, you know, white supremacists are starting this rumor that Antifa is claiming that they're going to start the next civil war on November 4th, which obviously makes whatever is done on November 4th seem immediately menacing. But the idea that we could be headed for a civil war, like, seemed crazy to me and still seems somewhat crazy to me. But there's this guy named... There's this guy named Keith Mines, who's a member of the U.S. Army Special Forces and has spent a bunch of time working for the United Nations in countries that are dissolving into civil war. He just got done, like, basically a 20-year tour that was, like, Afghanistan, Colombia, El Salvador, Iraq, Somalia, Sudan, all of these countries that are, like, mid-civil war. And then he got back to Washington last year, and he was like, wow, it's actually scary how similar current day America feels to those countries immediately before they dissolved into civil war.
So you're saying, because he has like sort of a rubric or a checklist to go right over that, the sort of the conditions that are necessary.
Right. He actually has five conditions that he says are present during a civil war. He says there's entrenched national polarization with no obvious meeting place for resolution. I think we clearly have that.
Check.
Increasingly divisive press coverage and information flows.
Check.
Definitely have that. Weakened institutions, notably Congress and the judiciary. I'd say the judiciary maybe isn't that weakened at this point, but Congress certainly is. A sellout or abandonment of responsibility by political leadership.
Ooh.
Check. And then the fifth one is the legitimization of violence as the, quote, in or, like, hip way to either conduct discourse or solve disputes.
Oh, like the dude who body slammed the reporter.
Right. Or, you know, just us looking at that video and being like, yeah, man, I kind
fuck
of
this, right?
I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting
yeah
for them to,
wow,
you know, kick the shit out of these people. So, I don't know. It's just, I think we obviously think the word civil war and we think of, like, you know, these pitched battles in fields, like the first American Civil War. And that obviously is not going to happen, right? Where there aren't going to be like other Gettysburgs where
right
like white supremacists come in from one side of the field and
yeah
the rest of us come in from another and we like just run at each other with weapons drawn. But
well, also just in general, no wars fought like that anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
To say we don't get down like that anymore.
Right. Exactly. But, so they talk a lot in this New Yorker article where they talk to this guy, Keith Mines, about, you know, what a different civil war would look like. And by a lot of definitions, like Charlottesville was like what a country would look like in civil war, essentially.
Or like showdowns like that happening.
Right. Showdowns like that happening. And I also just think that it's worth keeping in mind. Okay, so if the white supremacist side, you know, I saw in the aftermath of Charlottesville a lot of people being like, well, you know, they're just a sick group that, like, nobody really identifies with. But, okay, if they have the police on their side, they have a lot of military training on their side. They probably have all the people who are hoarding guns on their side. And then, you know, the big divide between Trump country and the people who didn't vote for Trump is urban versus rural. And, you know, the rural people control where all food comes from. None of the food that people in the city eat is grown in the city.
Well, hold on, man. My friend just started an urban garden in Echo Park. So we could probably eat some kale from
also,
there.
Side note, California's speaking up. We got Central Valley.
Yeah,
fuck
we got
those.
Some stuff.
Fuck you. Fuck you. No, you can cut that out. I got very aggressive.
No, but no, it's true.
But
I mean, yeah,
like,
there are resources
but
available
like,
to the U.S.
You, the way like you're kind of breaking it down is very interesting to me because I think about that too. And the scariest part to me is that if we did have this civil war, that we kind of like, not even saying this in like a way of hubris, but just in general, just geography and how like interested people are in this. I feel like it'd be this war that goes on in the middle of America and then like the coastal cities are kind of like whatever about it before they have to choose a side. Like I think if a civil war started, the coastal cities would be the last to enter it. And And that's what's kind of weird to kind of think about is the...
Yeah. Although I don't even know if it would be that geographically divided. Like, yeah. Because even though, you know, Hillary won the coastal states, that only matters insofar as the Electoral College divides the country up into states, which are basically arbitrary. And, you know, the Central Valley is Trump country.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. When you drive through there, like all the like Congress created drought and then all these Trump signs.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, when you take you're the driving five, as a San like, Francisco. Ooh. Yeah. But I'll take care of them guys. No.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like those guys aren't doing the labor out there.
Right. I know. So. Oh, yeah. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, it's like.
That's the other part, too. Like, yeah, they may be, they own the farms, but I mean, let's be real. The amount of migrant workers who actually do the actual grunt work of farming.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other issue. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you can, it's definitely, it is kind of an alarming thing to look at. Cause even the guy who put that bomb at the Asheville airport, he was like, I'm preparing for a war on U.S. soil.
What guy had put a bomb at an airport?
Oh, yeah, the white bomber that the no news one horribly about. Underreported. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, you can tell. So even there are
we
people
should say
like
that in case people who weren't listening to that episode, there was a white guy who left a bomb at a
regional,
actual American airport last week or the week before. And, you know, they caught it before it blew up and killed anyone. But he, like, what was his cause?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that they still know is that he, in his interrogation, he just said he was preparing for a war on U.S. soil.
Right, exactly. So. And this didn't get covered at all by the media because, now think about it, if it had been a Islamic terrorist, it would have been covered, like, constantly all over the place. But this was a, you know, a white terrorist. So, I mean, if he does turn out to be a white nationalist terrorist... Like, that is not what we, as what Americans typically think of when they think of terrorism or there being, like, an actual existential threat to the existence of the United States. But, I mean, that, like, I think what I'm suggesting is that that might be a little bit short-sighted and a little bit foolish to not think of white supremacists and white nationalists as, like, an actually incredibly dangerous threat to the existence of the country.
Right.
I think to like my general idea of whether or not we're going to a civil war still goes back to my whole view on like guys like Sam Hyde is like, no, everyone's feeling froggy, but no one's ready to leap. No one is really ready to leap. Like, here's the thing. All those guys, it took them all meeting up in Charlottesville for them to get the balls to attack one black dude.
Right.
Like if they really wanted to bring the ruckus, to, you know, shout out to, you know, my boys, the Wu-Tang Clan, then they would have just been going house to house really doing it, but they didn't. Like and that's what it all comes down to is like, and like DeAndre Harris, I just blame that on mob mentality. You know, when your boys, I think every shitty thing that is done by a group of men most of the time is just mob mentality, gassing each other up as you march. You feel powerful. You're around all these white men. You're seeing these dudes with guns. You know you have a private militia. Yeah, yeah, let's go attack that dude.
Yeah, let's turn up.
But but now when they're back in wherever the fuck they came from, they're not doing shit. They're still scanning shit at Kinko's. They're still serving Frappuccinos. And, you know, like
they're not about that life.
They're not about that life.
And the other thing you can tell too is the amount of people when they were doxxed or outed as being those white, and they're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
No. And so that's the other thing too is that would be more alarming to me if those people were like, yeah, so what? Like,
yeah.
I am a fucking Nazi. Like, fucking racist. Like, yeah, and we're going to take this fucking country back. It's easy to get, you know, get the Twitter fingers popping, but. Yeah, when you have to answer to it, these people are just they're not fully committed to this idea or this ideology that they're perpetrating or they're putting out there on the internet. So it's I don't know, they're in a weird place.
Yeah, and I'm kind of basing this just on like gang culture growing up. And if you look at like turf wars with gangs, those are like mini civil wars. And you had those dudes. You had those dudes who like will talk all that shit. And then unless they're with the rest of their gang, they're not going to do shit. And when you get them separated, that's when they got a whole life change. But then you have those dudes who with their gang or not, they're popping off, they're crazy, and they will fight. And those are the ones who end up dead because they're just running into fights and they're getting isolated and they're getting their ass kicked.
Right.
Now, those dudes can kind of hype up the other dudes because those dudes, the crazy dudes, are the ones who hype up the weaker dudes to make them feel powerful enough to do it. But I feel like on a national scale, like, I don't want to underestimate anyone, so this is just all based on what I've seen. I don't think anyone has the bearings to talk. I mean, like, you got these dudes going, like, hard, like, all right, well, let's debate at dinner, and they won't even meet up for that. I remember, I don't know if any of you know this comedian, Asterios. He was in, he challenged one of the moderators on the Donald to a fight, like a boxing match. And the guy refused in the end because they were like, all right, we'll box. And then he was like, but I can't show my face. He don't want to show his face. Right. And he was like, well, then how would I know it's you? How do I know you're not like hiring someone?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, Brock I feel Lesnar like we live in this. Up. Yeah. Yeah. That's me.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're in this age where it's so easy to be anonymous and it's so easy to be heard that like, it's easy to make people feel like you're ready to pop off when it all came down to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not saying that we should be like scared of them or overestimate them, but I just also don't think that as a threat, white supremacists and white nationalists should be underestimated.
Yeah,
which
not at
they
all.
Definitely are by the, well, yeah, the media.
It's definitely a cauldron that is bubbling for sure.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back to wrap things up. And we're back. So real quick, on the way out, wanted to talk about Larry Flint's big offer. He's offering, putting up $10
million. For nude pics of Trump.
Right, for, well, depending.
For pictures of the Spider-Man.
For information leading to Trump's impeachment. Yeah, pictures of the Spider-Man. So apparently he has done this before. He offered $1 million for information on Republicans who'd had extramarital affairs back during the Clinton-Lewinsky issue. And that ultimately led to the resignation of House Speaker Bob Livingston at the time. So he has been known to make these offers and then follow through on them. Yeah, I don't know. It's
$10 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I've been like trying to get convince my wife to let me, you know, go to DC and make this money. Like, yeah. I'm out there, like, I'll be your street dog. Like, yeah. Can I get $500 off top to just be on these streets for you? Like, look, let him know, yo, Flint, 500 G's off top. I'm on these streets. Yeah. I'm talking to these guys. I'm going to the bars. I'm going to K Street and pressing people. Yeah, like let's do it. Let's make this money. Me and Miles. You know, me and Miles. I'm pulling you in with me,
hey,
Miles.
Fine.
We're going to DC.
I know where to hit up on K Street.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to Skype in and do these episodes, Jack, but we got to be in DC hitting it hard.
I mean, it's interesting because $10 million is like, it's more money than even the promise of being in the, like, on Trump's good side is worth.
Yeah.
Because right? I feel like people who shut their mouths are like, well, you know, we never know. This could end up being a good move for me if I stay on his good side. But fucking $10 million, I'm like, right. Yo, I got it all. I got
Sean the, Spicer I got the PP is not tape. Making $10 million for the rest of his life.
No. Right. So, like, he's not even making $10,000 off that book.
Right. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what this shakes loose from.
Yeah, well, I can just see Larry Flint just being like, hey, so what do you got for me?
Yo, man, I was out on them streets, man. I went to that one, that restaurant, that New York Times dude. Yeah, look, Larry, they didn't come by yet, but I'm waiting. So
the steakhouse just with the ear open.
Yeah. Right. So
the can BLT steakhouse. Yeah. And then also, apparently, Trump has been subpoenaed by one of the women who is accusing him of sexual assault, a woman who was a contestant on The Apprentice, who he allegedly groped. Gloria Allred is her lawyer, and they have subpoenaed Trump and his campaign asking for any documents pertaining to any woman alleging that Donald J. Trump touched her inappropriately, which I don't know. We'll see.
This is wild because I feel like years ago, just a subpoena was an impeachment. Like, if you just, you didn't even have to do it. Just being in that position. Like, I mean, if we think back to Watergate, how small in comparison that crime seems to, like, the stuff that's on Donald Trump plate. That's like, no, we're going to keep it going. We're going to, right. It's not enough yet. It's like, my man's has to, like, it's going to take like a picture going down Splash Mountain with Putin.
Yeah. Well, the GOPs, they're just trying to ride this thing out and see, maybe, I don't mean, there will come a point where they're going to be like, hey, fuck it. It is no longer worth it to protect
this.
Did you
hear, like, one of the GOP insider, like, I forgot where I heard this, but you have definitely, but like a GOP insider was like, we're going to try and get the tax stuff through and then we're going to work on impeachment. And it's like, what? Like,
right.
Like, it's all a game. Like, it's all a game. It's like, no, we know. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, they have a kill switch. So it's like, no, we know we can impeach him. We're just waiting for.
Yeah, we just have to, bow to our corporate masters who demand these tax cuts, like, hoax. And then we can take, America seriously.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's wild.
It is wild. What's making us happy, you guys? What's making you happy, Iffy?
Ooh, this morning I played some of that South Park Fractured Butthole.
What the hell does that
Wait,
mean?
Did you get an early copy?
It's called, yeah, I got an early copy, so I got my hands on it. But it's called Fractured Butthole. But it's just a
play on words.
Yeah. It's super fun.
What's the genre of game?
It's RPG. So it's
RPG with South Park characters.
Yeah. And the art. Because South Park's art is just so, like, beautifully simplistic, it's like you're playing an episode. Like, you're just, it looks good, it's seamless. And, the last one, The Stick of Truth, was more of a fantasy game. This one is their hero character, like Cartman's the Coon, Kite Man, and just, you're the new kid. And with the difficulty settings, like, it's easy if you're white, but if you set your character darker, it gets more difficult. So we went with the black character, and
you're playing it on God mode.
Yeah. We're going hard. But it's super fun. The jokes are funny. Like, just South Park, love jokes, but, like, obviously smart takes, obviously they did the skin color bit, but then, like, you do some missions with the police, and the design of the police station was hilarious. Like, there's all these pictures of people of color, and it was like, question on site, and one mission, the cops make you go after this quote unquote drug dealer, but it's just a regular black guy in a house. it's great. It's fun.
Gotta love that. Need new games.
Yeah.
So is South Park has a history of making, like, good games?
No.
Well, no. Some of the first ones were fucking
rough.
Garbage.
Okay.
But these
one's pretty dope.
I feel like the RPG, what makes it good is that it allows them to tell a story. So they just basically write a long episode that you get to play and be a part of. And the combat system's really fun.
Nice. I just want to shout out an Irish mosque that's opening its doors to the homeless people when the hurricane hits.
Nice.
So shout outs to the Irish mosque.
Yeah.
Really just, Everybody needs a place to weather the storm.
And the thing that's making me happy is I just learned about Miles's rap group from when he was a child. Miles was in a rap collective with Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, J-Boy, Low Pro, Mike G, rest in peace, rest in power, Mike. Yeah, this was so one of my friends, Mike, he used to be on this Disney Channel show called The Jersey, and naturally, he was friends with other kids that were on the Disney Channel. So at the time, Shia LaBeouf was on Even Stevens. And so we used to hang around, twist one up, make a little beat spit some hot rhymes. I was really holding it down for the middle class kids who thought they were gully. I listened to way too many cocaine rap freestyles. And you can hear that in my lyrics. But I'll tweet something out. If you follow me on Twitter at Miles of Gray, I'll tweet you to my track with Shia, a.k.a. Rap Eye.
Rabbi.
So yeah, he's been about the hip hop thing for a minute. So I can't.
So that's
from him.
Rabbi, but
rap. Yeah. Yeah. You figured it out.
Yeah, I figured it out when you told me earlier. Well, did you have a rap name?
No, I was just fucking Miles. Really,
Miles.
I wasn't really
on that Kendrick Lamar tip.
I just felt like it wasn't. I didn't have like a cool name to come up with, and I was like, I'm good with Miles for now. Like, this is just some hobby shit.
Well, check that out, guys. Iffy, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me at at Iffy Whitey Way on Twitter and Instagram, and Ifty's on Twitch if that's your thing.
How are you spelling that?
My name or Ifty's? Both? Probably both. IFYNWADIWE. Right. And on Twitch, IFDEEZ.
Thank you so much for coming by. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me just, you know, working out in the gym right now. Just getting my fucking chest up.
And you can find me at Jack_OBRIEN on Twitter. And we'll be back tomorrow because it is a daily show. Talk to you then.